Chair Goodfault for Reddy.
I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Reddy meeting to order. The time is 1:00, September 11th. The first item on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Keane.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congresswoman Rebar.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfault.
Present. Next item on our agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Stabler, will you please render our afternoon prayer?
Be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and as always, we thank you for the opportunity for providing support to our Osage Nation, for the opportunity to serve our people. We ask that you watch over all of our families that are in mourning, our elderly, our military service, our children, and that you will guide us through the decisions that we have to make in this time, and that, as always, to bless and watch out for all the Osage people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is approval of minutes.
Chair, this is Jody.
Second speaker. Yes, you have the floor.
I believe that Billy or Congressman Keene made the motion to approve the minutes last time, but Congresswoman Shaw seconded them. Do we record the seconds or not?
Clerk.
No, ma'am, we do not record the seconds.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Goodfault?
Yes.
I noticed that all six were present for the meeting, and on the approval of minutes, I see that there's at 5 yays and 0 nays.
Okay, thank you. Clerk, can you double check that?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Chair Goodfault.
Yes.
The minutes showed that I adjourned the meeting. I don't recall adjourning the meeting. I feel like the meeting was adjourned by you.
That is correct.
Shanna, was that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Chair Goodfault?
Yes.
Motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 No opposed, motion carries. The next item on our agenda is consideration of ONCA 2076, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2021 in the amount of $48,065,630 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rebard. We have already started looking through other sections that we have been assigned from the speaker. The first section that we have on here today is the Gaming Commission. And who do we have from executive that's on the line? Oh, I see Tasha, Controller Fox, Jason Zahn, Casey on the phone. No, okay.
He should be. I believe Elizabeth Embry is on the line also to discuss the budget.
Okay.
That's correct.
Let's get started.
Okay.
Let's get started. Ms. Embry, you'll have the floor, and we just ask the committee to pull your gaming commission budget up as she goes through to talk about it.
Good morning, members of Congress. Thank you for having us today, and we look forward to having a really good year this year. And so let's go through the budget. We are requesting in tribal appropriations $2,374,696.58. Our program income is our program revenue is estimated to be about $300,000. We get our tribal our program income from our licensing department, and that's because we license all of the employees that work for Osage Casinos. We also license all of the vendors, the technicians and principals that come to work there as required by the Oklahoma State Compact. We have exceeded our budget the last 2 years, and that was primarily due to the turnover and some of the changes that they added some employees through the growth in New Tulsa. And so we did exceed our income 2 years in a row. This year we have also exceeded our income programming revenue income, and that was due to some of the new people that came back and were hired on and through turnover. We can't necessarily estimate the turnover ratios, and so we just base our program income on the amount that we know that we will be renewing. So that's renewal license fees for all the different vendors and the employees. So that is one of the things. And so I did want to ask if there were any questions just on the tribal income request and the program income. Then after that, I will just go into some of the expenses. Salaries and wages are set by the, they do every 3 years now, they look at all of the salaries and they go through and look at all of the related titles to see what those pay with regard to that. And we typically run about either middle to low on those. The merit is always estimated at zero. And then there is the fringe that is also applicable to those salaries. Travel, we do have $59,000 in travel. Primarily, our travel is for 7 GSA vehicles that are every day taken to the different properties, the 7 properties of Osage Casinos, and where those agents, they install games and make sure that they are compliant for live play at all 7 properties. They also do hardware and software installs. Just to give you kind of an idea, last year we had 1,106 EGM repairs. We did 420 new installs. We did 1,985 game conversions, and we did approximately 389 removals of machines and putting in new machines in those places. So we anticipate this year that it's going to either be approximately the same, even with our closure for 2 months, and or maybe a little higher. We are already running pretty high, so just depending on how this last month, as far as those kinds of things go, that will determine those things. So those GSAs are critically important to us because we do have agents in them every day going to the properties. We don't, of course, plan any of that. They call us and they set up all of these things in advance, and so those agents are sent out by that department every day. We also have GSAs that are used by our auditors that are required to be on site at the different properties auditing to the MIX, which is the minimum internal control standards, and the MIX ticks and six, that's kind of what goes on. The ticks are the tribal internal control standards, and the six are the system and internal controls, basically policy and procedure. So those auditors go out, we have 6 auditors, and they go out several times during the week. They actually have 2 cars, so they share, and they go out during the week to audit the different departments of Osage Casinos. We are highly compliant, but they must be out there and going through all the documentation that is required by the National Indian Gaming Commission, the NIGC. So like I said, those GSAs are critically important and that travel is critically important. I think it was reduced a little bit as far as the GSA travel goes. Hopefully we can attain that type of with that budget amount. Local mileage is for, we have an office in Tulsa and we have individuals that come from Tulsa to work in Pawhuska. Occasionally, some people from the licensing department also go down there to perform audits on the non-gaming vendors. So they take GSAs and they do, or if there is not one available, they must use their own vehicle, and that is where we reimburse on the local mileage. So hotel and per diem and travel and airfare, we have a number of individuals that have certifications and it's required for them to travel to maintain those certifications. And both basically they are certified fraud examiners and they go to these trainings 1 week out of the year to maintain those certifications and to make sure that they are up to date on all of the new investigative fraud that have to do with casinos and gaming and things like that. Also, we do go to the National Indian Gaming seminars that they have once a year, and they host those at different casino properties throughout Oklahoma. And so we do have auditors and different agents and that travel to these different things for updates and things with the NIGC. The National Indian Gaming Commission, we are in touch with them about once a week with some of the different things, maybe even more frequently during the closure process. They required a phenomenal amount of documents with regard to the closure and how the reopening process that we were going to go through with our sanitation guidelines and the different things that we provided to them. And they sent them through an approval process for through Oklahoma City. Our duty station is out of Tulsa, and they sent them through Oklahoma City and to Washington, D.C. So we had a lot of real good feedback from the NIGC on some of the ways that we implemented our sanitation guidelines for Osage casinos. They did an excellent job on that. So we communicate with them very frequently. Our operations expense, looking at postage, of course, we mail the licenses out to the individuals for non-gaming and the gaming, the different vendors that we have, we mail them a license. They are also two-year licenses, like the employees, which are sent to the properties. We have some printing supplies, some subscriptions are through different, our auditors are subscribed to different different groups that allow them to stay up to date on all of the different mandates that we have. Program supplies and office supplies, many times that's paper and just the different things that we need. Program supplies, we are always buying Fire King cabinets because they are all required to be in Fire King cabinets, all of our files for employees and our files for vendors. And the NIGC audits that once a year. This year we anticipate, because of the new FBI laws, that FBI will be also, they are going to be auditing the Gaming Commission as well. So we are audited by external audits. We're audited by the NIGC, and we are also audited the licensing department by the FBI. So we're audited very frequently to make sure that we are appropriately auditing and reviewing all the documents from the Osage casinos and the Gaming Commission. Cell phone stipends, our agents that are in the field, our field workers, they all receive a stipend for using their cell phones. We are on the phone with them, for instance, if they are doing a repair and a few repairs in Tulsa and they're going to finish, say, at 1 o'clock, they may go ahead and call them and send them off to Sand Springs or somewhere that's nearby instead of sending another agent out for that day. So we do try to duplicate where we can and not have agents out every day when they're in the office. They have EGM history reports and other paperwork that has to be done. Very voluminous, along with our auditors. We have lots of paper. Anyway, so that's some of the office supplies we buy as well. The drug testing is, of course, for any new employee or any time an employee would be called to take a drug test for a surprise or anything like that, just to maintain compliance with that part of Osage Nation. Training dues and registrations. Like I said, we have a number of those trainings and certifications that require a due or a registration. We are also members of the OIGA, which is the Oklahoma Indian Gaming Association, OTCRA, which is Oklahoma Tribal Regulators Association, and several other entities like that that require us to pay a registration fee or some sort of training dues when they have training. Our equipment rental, that is our copier and some other things that we do rent. And the same thing with the equipment repairs. We've had a lot of repairs on our badge machines. Those have been giving us quite a lot of trouble. And so we did send one of them off yesterday. We have a badge machine in Tulsa and one in Pawhuska. The one in Pawhuska is, we've had IT literally in our office for the last 2 weeks trying to get it going. So they've asked us to mail that off, and we have done that. And so we do have, we'll have a repair cost for that. We also have vehicle repairs and maintenance just based on, we have to maintain those GSA vehicles. Every year they're required to have oil changes that are at our cost. And so, and any repair that we had, for instance, a few years back, we had hail damage on them and we had to pay repairs on those kind of things that the insurance did not cover. We also have insurance, and that is for GSA vehicles. Space cost that's determined by Osage Nation, and indirect cost that I believe is 20.02% this year. We have professional fees, which include our attorney, and they are at every board meeting because we do quasi-judicial hearings based on bans, if someone is based on licensing actions, and any other action that would require our commissioners to make a decision on any sort of enforcement action or corrective action. So we do have those fees from an attorney. We also have in professional fees, we have a company that we use to do the nationwide background initial investigation that sends us everything that is a nationwide list of every applicant, what is applicable to them as far as us making a determination for eligibility and having a license. So that would be our primary cost, is this company, because we investigate every single person that comes through to work, and that includes that also includes technicians, vendors, and principals of companies that will be on site at our properties, and that's fitting compliance with the Oklahoma State Compact. In professional fees too, sometimes we have an allocation for, we have to have a court reporter at some of these things when they become serious enough that they come, that the individual wants to come in and they want to challenge whatever it is we found. And so we have a court reporter on site, and that's a very, very small amount, but occasionally that will come from professional fees as well. Advertising, our advertising budget, is simply in the event that we need to have fill a position. We, as reported earlier, we had 29 employees, and now after the RIF, we have 27 employees. The two employees that we lost were in our surveillance. They were surveillance investigators who are on site at the property and keep us up to date on the day-to-day components of whatever is happening at our properties. And so in the event we need it to fill a position, that is the advertising budget that we have, $177. As we walk through these things, that there may be some questions that you have. If I haven't answered something, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have. We do have an excellent gaming commission. We've got excellent reports from our external auditors on the way the audits that we do, they rely on that work. And if they find that they can't rely on an internal auditor, then we must pay for external auditors to handle the audit piece of every year for all of the required audits that are required by NIGC. So they have really used our audits and said that they've just done an excellent job and they are able to rely on them 100%. So that's been a very positive thing at the Gaming Commission. So I guess I've talked enough. If anybody has questions, I'm happy to answer. I hope everyone can hear me all right.
Ms. Hembry, this is Congressman King. I've got a question.
Sure.
I'm a bit confused. You said the professional fees are used for attorney help. So you guys contract attorneys just to represent the Gaming Commission? Is that correct?
That is correct.
So the Osage Nation AG is not involved in that at all? You have your own specialized?
Yes. It apparently, a number of years back, the AG's office did handle all of our quasi-judicial hearings and things like that. At some point, my understanding was that they asked us to get a gaming attorney, and so that has happened for the last 6 years. I know we've had an attorney on contract.
And one more question. So if someone brings an action against the actual casinos, then the casinos have their own attorneys too, though, right?
That's correct. They do.
Yeah, it just seems kind of odd. You know, we got three tribal entities paying for attorneys. You see what I'm trying to say, right?
I actually do.
Yeah, just a bit perplexing to me, but I was just trying to kind of get a picture of how that is structured. So, thank you.
Our attorney typically represents our gaming commission board, and when there is an action, he is there and he does advise them on what they can do that's in compliance with the compact and the other laws that apply to gaming. So, yes, you are correct. We previously had used the AG's office, and my understanding is that they did not have a gaming attorney, and so we did contract for one, and that contract is up in December of this year.
Okay, thank you for the information. You guys do a great job as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Hey, Jordan, this is Alice. Can you tell me what the professional fees line item amount was for last year's budget for this budget? And Congressman Keene, that's actually been addressed over and over again. The whole reason that we set the Attorney General's, well, I don't say the whole reason, but one of the reasons that the Attorney General's office was set up was to start to streamline all of the legal fees that the nation has. The Gaming Commission and the Tax Commission both needed more of a specialty lawyer.
Yeah.
And so we, the last I heard, the Tax Commission, they don't have their own lawyer in a line item, but the AG's office did contract that out.
Okay. Thanks for the information.
Madam Chair. Sure.
Yes. Jordan.
This is Trey.
Hold on, Trey. Just one sec.
Last year, their professional fees line was about $239,000, and this year they're asking for $213,000, so they're reducing it by about $26,000.
Okay, thank you. Trey, you have the floor.
I just wanted to add that the reason that the casino has their own attorney and the commission has their own attorney, the main reason is that the interests of the casino don't always align with the interests of the gaming commission that is overseeing them or regulating the casino itself. So that is the main reason. And the attorney could have a significant conflict of interest once their interests are not aligned.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That makes sense. Thank you.
Chair.
Okay, committee, do you have any questions?
Chair Goodfox.
Yes.
Pam Shaw. Elizabeth, good afternoon. Good to hear from you. Thank you for being here. I do have a couple of questions. So as far as the employees that you have on property that report to a property as opposed to traveling around the seven casinos, how many folks do you have that are actually on property and at what casinos?
We have four site supervisors. We have one at Bartlesville, and she actually is on site at Bartlesville, but she handles Hominy and Skytook. And then we have one at Ponca City that handles Pawhuska, Ponca City, and Sand Springs. We have one at Tulsa, and then we have a manager that's in Tulsa that can see. Once we have the ability to see all properties, we will be able to have those people. They check logs and things. They might do almost 10,000 checks at logs, and different things are filled out correctly. They read all the IRs from all of the security offices. They also read them from surveillance. And so they're able to go through and determine compliance with MIC, and they actually look more for the policy and procedure, which is called our six. They go through it. So we have four of those individuals.
Thank you, Chair. May I ask another question, please?
Yes.
As far as that, when you're speaking about the travel, the airfare, hotel, and per diem, is that for NIGA and OIGA? And how many folks do you send to each?
We have three that we actually send for certifications that we send out of state for certifications. And this year, we didn't use that budget because they had a robust online training, and that's for the CFEs. And then if we typically have driven to wherever the NIGC and the OTCRA meetings are and those other types of meetings, we drive there. Now there's some audit trainings when things change with either the MIC or any regulation that is concerning the audits that are required so that we can rely on our auditors. They have been sent to those trainings before, and we typically try to send them at least every other year so that they can stay updated on all of the new information with regard to what's required and mandated.
What about the NIGA conference?
We have not paid to have anyone go to NIGA at this time. Okay. In the last 2 years.
Oh, okay. Chair, can I ask another question? I'm sorry.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. Ms. Hembree, as far as surveillance, can you explain to me, I've been away from Osage Gaming for a while. Can you explain to me how that's structured? And I was looking on your program plan, and it doesn't look like the actual surveillance employees are on there, but surveillance supervisors on. Can you just kind of speak to that for just a minute?
Sure. So, as you remember, back in 2015, and you may not remember, the surveillance was under the Osage Nation Gaming Commission. All of the surveillance was. So we actually at that time had 139 employees. As our budget continued to grow, it ended up being somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 and $11 million, which was a substantial part of the distribution that Osage Nation received. So we worked with Osage Casinos, and they took all of the surveillance individuals that are required, because they have so many things that are required that they have to look at according to the NIGC. We kept the managers, and so that they could have oversight on the property, that the surveillance agents were doing what they needed to do. So they came up with this system that they would review all of the things that are required in the MIC so that we would be compliant and make sure that those things were happening on site on a daily basis. Our auditors do not do that because they have audits that are required, and they have a random number generator where they pick out the dates that they're going to audit to those dates, and they do very comprehensive, thorough audits of those dates. So daily, the things that are required daily, that is what these individuals do that are surveillance. They actually watch the surveillance to make sure they're operating properly. They take care of watching security so that they are operating properly. And like I said, they're on site day-to-day monitoring anything that happens there. So the manager sets up all of the different reports. She also, through a Vigilon, which is our camera system, can see four properties. The only properties that are not set up right now with a Vigilon are Bartlesville and Pawhuska. So we have to have people at those sites to be able to watch drop and count and all of the requirements that are required for people to do on a daily basis. And that is their performance is by day, where everyone else's is by date. And it's backwards, and they're real time, on time, every day. Did I answer your question correctly?
Definitely. Thank you very much. Now, just out of curiosity, how often or how many complaints do you have from guests or hearings do you have regarding an incident that occurred at the casino as far as our guests are concerned?
So we handle any complaint that the NIGC gets and any complaint that is sent just straight to the Gaming Commission. And if you want to consider a tort claim and a prize claim complaint, last year we had 11 torts and we had 6 prize claims, which were our people that have complained that they think they've hit a prize, and we send out investigators on those. We shut the machines off, not off, but we turn them to a point where they cannot be used. They're out of service until our investigator can get there and go through the history of the EGM. So, like I said, there were 6 of those and 11 torts. We had 2 through the NIGC, and that is someone who thinks they won a prize. And so instead of contacting the Gaming Commission, they've directly called Washington, D.C. and spoke with the National Indian Gaming Commission. Those are sent directly to me, and they call me and pretty much say, handle it. Here's what you've got. We had 2 of those last year. So I would say altogether, we had 19 different things, including torts prize and NIGC prize claims.
That said, that's pretty darn good for such a large organization with so many casinos, I would say. Okay, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Congresswoman. I appreciate you.
Anyone else? If no one has any other questions, then we're going to move to the next item on the agenda, which is the Gaming Commission Board Budget. Who is that? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Who is that? Elizabeth, is that you?
I'm still on, yes.
Are you going to speak on the Gaming Commission Board Budget, or do we have a member of the board here, or is Jason or Casey going to speak to that?
I'm happy to speak to it if you would like me to.
You've done such a good job, Ms. Hembry. You go right ahead.
So I see the new worksheet for our gaming board. Our gaming board, all of our stipends and everything are in compliance with ONCR 18-28, which I understand is probably going to be rewritten because it just had 2 years in it. The travel local mileage is for them, for our 3 commissioners who are outstanding to go to the board meeting from where they live. One lives in Skytook, one lives in Burbank, and one is from Hominy. So they are in attendance each month. We are having in-person meetings. We are social distancing and wearing masks, and we have had all of our meetings in person, even through the pandemic. They also attend some free trainings, which are like NIGC, if we go for the day, if it's in Tulsa, in Oklahoma City, we have spent the night 2 years ago. So I don't see anything allowed for that on this new budget. And so that is the only concern I had. I know that we do have one new commissioner, and so she has been requesting some training. So there should be some, hopefully we can find some things for her to travel to during the day, and that local mileage will cover it. The indirect cost is the only thing that's probably changed in the last few years, and that's just based on the percentage that Osage Nation determines is needed for operations. So the stipends, $21,000, is exactly what they are paid according to that last resolution that was in place. And so the only thing I would say is that there may be a time, and I'm sure that the travel local mileage would cover it if they did have to stay for an NIGC training or something like that. It's very helpful to them to also be updated, especially at that high level. And so I'm sure $6,000 would cover it. If there are any issues with that, I will get back to you. They are aware of this budget.
Thank you, Ms. Hembry. I'll open the floor up to the committee for any questions. No one has anything? All right. Ms. Hembry, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Congress. You all have a wonderful day. I appreciate you all.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next item on our agenda to look at is the Tax Commission. Do we have Tax Commission representatives on the line, or the director?
Yeah. This is Greg Carpenter here.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Hi. Hey, I'm fine.
All right. You've got the floor.
Okay, great. Looks like, just looking at our budget, the tax commission's budget wasn't really changed at all other than just the wages. Just running through it, I alphabetized it, so it's kind of out of order now, but we have our bank fees, which have been kind of going up, mainly with the COVID pandemic. We've been having a lot more people mailing stuff in and doing payments and such, so our bank fees have increased based off of that. No one's paying in cash either. We're recommending people not paying cash, so that's kind of pushed those fees up. That same goes with some of our postage costs. Those have increased. We've made cuts in it, but it's also increased just because we're mailing so much stuff now. A lot of the rest of the stuff, the equipment rental, I think we got rid of some equipment, and that wasn't adjusted to reflect that, but I'm not sure if I can come up with a really good number without going a little bit more depth into that. The other thing I have is equipment repairs and maintenance. That is going to remain level. Space costs remain level. Our supplies, those have gone up as well. Again, we're mailing stuff to constituents. We're mailing the renewals back. We're mailing forms. And can't think. I don't see anything else that kind of stands out. I mean, it's basically the same as it was last year as far as just what our expenses are. And just some of the things that might go down get replaced by things that go up.
Greg, this is Alice. What is the other expense for $7,650?
That is listed as bank fees and service charges. That would be if we run a credit card payment, we have to pay for the credit card. It comes out of my budget whenever we use credit card fees or checks. If we process a check through our machine, they charge a fee for that to make sure that the money's going to clear, basically. So that's listed as other, I believe, on your chart, but it was replaced to say bank fee and service charge on my end. And $7,650 a pretty good estimate for that. I think when I ran my report at the beginning of July, we were at like $4,600. So add another 4 months onto that. So I think that's a fair estimate for how much we're using on bank fees and other service charges. I think it's 3% for a lot of the different charges that we have.
Okay. Well, on this budget, it says other expense, $7,650, but up under account number, you do have a line item that says bank fee, service charge, cash short, long, and cost of goods sold. And then that amount is $21,713. Are you looking at the budget that we have for you?
I'm looking at the budget I pulled. I have the Bicori budget. Hold on 1 second. I'm getting it right now.
Okay. Yes, Jordan.
I'm looking at Bicori right now. The one you have is from Bicori as well. And it looks like they shifted the other line into operations expense. But everything else that I've looked at looks about the same.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Jason.
Oh, Jason, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just want to quickly touch on when Greg went through his, when he was talking about increases and salaries and quickly went through it. I talked to him earlier about it. Those were merit adjustments. I don't think it was anybody's salary being upgraded. It was just the normal merit. I just want to clear that up.
Thank you. Committee, do you have any questions?
Chair, this is Paula.
Yes, Paula.
Along those same lines, what you're looking at, what the other thing that was bothering me was under bank fees and service charges and cash short and long, there's a total, but there's no numbers in the lines. So I wonder what that 21,713 is. See what I'm saying? It's a total in that section, not a line cost.
Yeah.
I think
because it says zero and then zero.
I think that's the sum of the Group D operations expenses, which include 9,000 postage, 585 subscriptions, 6188 office supplies, 2,700 program supplies, 1,000 telephone, and then the cell phone stipend, which is 2,214.
I see. So it just goes all total to the next page. I got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jordan, Jordan, you look like you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that the charges that make up the $21,000 are on page one, and it just continues down onto page two, but Greg explained that.
All right, committee, anything further? Comments, questions for Mr. Carpenter?
Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
This may just, since this is my first go round with the budget process, can someone explain to me the revenue? Why is the revenue not listed on the budget?
I send a revenue estimate out before they do the budgeting, and I'm not sure why it's not included on this form, that part of it. I don't have that revenue projection in front of me right now.
Madam Chair, may I try?
Yes.
Congresswoman Shaw, your question is why isn't like there $2 million that they get per year in that budget? Is that
why isn't the revenue that they collect in that budget? Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. Several years ago, I'm going to say probably, let's see, when I was still over in Congress, so probably 2013, 2012, they used to have that. They would have like $2 million in tribal in revenue and have their operating income. And then at the bottom, they would do their salaries and wages and all their operating costs. And at the bottom, they would do other, and then they would put the balance of the money, you know, they'll put the balance less, or their cost less, their revenue less expenses in that one line item. So we'd have a budget with all this stuff, and then you'd have like almost $2 million in other that they really never spent. So then they decided to take it out of the budget and just add it to projected revenue. And then now it's just listed as one of our projection revenue sources. Is that clear it up a little bit, or?
Yeah, that does make sense. So just out of curiosity, is it around $2 million? Is that the, I can go back and look, but do you know off the top of your head, is that what it's, what we're budgeting for this year from Tax Commission?
For what we anticipate them collecting?
Yes, sir.
Greg, I think it's 2.1 or 2.3. Greg, can you give us the exact number, please?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Give me 1 second.
Madam Chair.
I projected it at 2.275 million.
Is this an increase or decrease over the over last year? Have we been able to grow that revenue amount?
I believe it's a slight decrease. I had to do a revenue projection. I have to do an adjustment at one point because of the COVID, and with the casino closing down, a lot of our revenue, well, most of our casino revenue, which is about 25% of our monthly revenue, was gone for about 2 months. So I had to adjust that down. So it should be a little bit less than what I would project for fiscal year 2020.
Thank you.
I got a copy of it.
Anyone else have any comments or questions? Okay. Then we will move to the next item on the agenda, which would be the Tax Commission Board budget. Jason, who will be speaking on that?
Greg was getting in contact with the chair. Greg, did you ever get a response back?
No, I did not. Not via email.
Okay. Tax advisory.
Well, it's
board.
Pretty.
I'll talk about it. I mean, I think what we did is we just, like the other board, I looked at that expired resolution that listed amounts for 2019 and 2020, and I just followed that.
Okay. That's what it looks
yeah.
like. You've
and
got.
And then they added a little IDC in there. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a little IDC. There's travel.
Yeah,
there's the board stipend.
The board stipends for the three of them. Yes, ma'am.
Does anyone have any questions on this? Comments?
Chair, this is Jody. I just have a comment.
Yes, second speaker.
This budget is exactly the same as the budget that was appropriated in FY20. It's flatlined.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's what I see also. Yeah, this is very basic. Okay, if there's no questions or comments, then the chair will entertain a motion to let the minutes reflect that we have reviewed Gaming Commission, the Gaming Commission Board, the Tax Commission, and the Tax Commission Board, and I do not have those section numbers. Clark, do you have those section numbers?
Yes, ma'am.
Chair, Jody, I've got the section numbers too, if you want me to give them to you. The Gaming Commission is section 29, Gaming Commission Board, section 30, Tax Commission is section 53, and the Tax Commission Board is section 54.
Okay, 29, 30, and what?
53 and 54.
Okay. So the chair will entertain a motion that the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee has reviewed ONCA 2076, sections 29, 30, 53, 54, which are the Gaming Commission, the Gaming Commission Board, the Tax Commission, the Tax Commission Board.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Stabler.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 There is no opposed. Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 No opposed, motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you, committee. Thank you.